And as far as Ryback is concerned, he's not even in the conversation. I do want to take this time right now to talk about my monumental victory last night, which should be applauded. But ever since that victory, it's been marred in controversy, and people have the audacity to point a finger at me and accuse me of somehow, I don't know, convincing an official to get physical with Ryback, to put his hands on Ryback. This will be a hard pill for all of you to swallow, but I had nothing to do with it.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Thursday, November 1st, 2012, sitting in the Smack Talk studios. This is the best in wrestling talk radio. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting next to the man, James McDonald. James, how are you tonight, my friend?
Very good. I'm just hoping that my voice doesn't break on this introduction here, but once again...
Well, we are 10 seconds in, and it hasn't happened yet.
Okay, so I think we might be smooth sailing from here on in, maybe.
A little reference to last week. Folks, this is Smack Talk Radio Live, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on Twitter already, well, you must have not hit puberty yet, @SRL Radio. James, you apparently have.
Was that a shot? That was low, man. Low blow.
I know.
The belt.
Oh, I apologize. Some crazy stuff happening in the world right now. Hurricane Sandy, unbelievable.
Big earthquake that we had here on the West Coast, too.
Yes, just up in Haida Gwaii there. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
The world is coming to an end or something.
It's true. Well, let me just say this. If this doesn't say wake up and be a little more friendly to the environment, I don't know what does. Because climate change, I think, is happening at a much greater rate than people are believing.
And I think we're just going to see, if we continue at the rate that we're going, I think we're just going to see it only be worse.
Yeah. Crazy. Did you feel the earthquake?
No, I didn't feel it.
No, me neither.
Did you? Yeah.
No. How about Halloween last night, October 31st? That was yesterday.
Wow, terrible weather here in Vancouver. I feel bad for all those kids out there. It was pouring buckets of rain.
It was annihilating rain.
Oh, man.
I stayed inside in my pajamas with my girlfriend.
There you go. How many kids did you have come to your place?
Three people, I think, knocked on the door.
Three people?
That's it.
That's like two more than last year, isn't it?
Pretty much. But you know what that means? There is a plus side.
More candy for you.
That's right.
Like you need it.
Oh, is that a shot?
Hey, I had to get my low blow back, so.
We both don't sound that excited this week, and I'm wondering if that's because the WWE product has put us into a lull.
Oh, man. I don't know. After that pay-per-view on the weekend.
Really?
I don't know. I personally was expecting something a little bit better, but...
Interesting.
I don't know. What about you? What did you think of Hell in a
Cell? Well, I did order the pay-per-view.
Oh, you did too?
And I don't know. My biggest concern here is that nothing progressed, and... you know, with pay-per-views like Hell in the Cell, you're supposed to shore up some of the loose ends, and I feel like there were more questions left at the end of the show than answered, and that's a huge issue with me.
That could have been another episode of Raw for all we know, right? Like
it pretty much was.
It didn't really seem like that special a pay-per-view, and I thought it kind of was. I thought maybe we were going to see something interesting in the main event, but I don't know. What did you think of that finish with the crooked referee doing the low blow and the fast three count like that?
I think it's something they thought up at the very last second.
Do you?
I think that's very obvious. It's a typical go-to when you don't know what to do sort of finish. You know what I mean? Like, I'm reminded of Kevin Nash at SummerSlam when he ran in, and I'm just like, this comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I have to say, with Brad Maddox being involved in the main event, I did notice at the beginning of the match, I did say to the people I was watching the pay-per-view with, why is Brad Maddox reffing?
Especially,
first of all, how new he is, and second of all, his history with CM Punk, you know, a month ago or whatever.
Yeah, I honestly totally did not notice it until the very end of the match, so they got me on that one for sure.
Well, that's probably because you were already sleeping come the main event. No? All right. We'll put the WWE talk on hold for a couple minutes. Big investors conference call today with the WWE. We're going to get everyone caught up with something we like to call the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
Alrighty, James, the post-to-post report, catching you up on the business.
Of the business.
Oh, it's been a while since you've done that. We start the report this week with the WWE releasing their third quarter investors conference call this morning, with few, not many details emerging regarding the planned WWE network. We had talked about this last week. You know, right. A lot of people were wondering, they need some info on this
thing.
Like,
what's going on with this WWE network?
So they had kind of mentioned that they would make they would update the investor's story today. So here's what they said. During the call, Vince McMahon stated that the WWE Network would be a premium subscription model, which is similar to the way HBO operates.
Oh, I see.
So not part of your standard cable package.
It's an extra channel that you'd have to pay more money for.
That's
type
correct.
Thing, right?
Okay. Some people are shooting the number $30 a month around. That seems a little high, but knowing the WWE, there's two ways of looking at that. You know, $30 a month for a channel, but you pay $50 for a pay-per-view. So if they actually threw one of those pay-per-views on the channel, immediately it's being paid for,
right?
Yeah,
that's a way to look at it for sure.
Regardless, though, no timetable for a launch was revealed. Shocking.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that the WWE continues to be in negotiations with potential distribution partners. Vince did say that the WWE is still considering several potential strategies under the premium subscription model, with one strategy possibly showing select pay-per-views on the network.
What does that mean?
So maybe we might get two or three pay-per-views a year on the network and not all of them.
So that'd be like two or three B pay-per-views then. It wouldn't be one of the big four, right?
It was.
Oh, jeez.
One or two or three. Like, none. I don't think WrestleMania will show up, put it that way. And I don't even believe this to be true, because why are you going to go and ditch all this pay-per-view revenue that you've built for years to get $30 a month out of someone on the network, right? So I don't think they'll actually go that route. They may do it in the beginning to get people going.
I see.
When asked if the network would affect current programming, McMahon stated that whatever strategy they decide upon, it will be an add-on when you look at the entire production. McMahon also revealed that WWE's TV contract with Sci-Fi, it comes up soon for SmackDown, and the future of that show is in limbo at the present time. The timing of these negotiations with Sci-Fi and the launch of their planned network, it could have a considerable impact on the future of SmackDown.
So there's a possibility that we won't have SmackDown anymore.
It's debatable at this point. Now, CFO George Berrios revealed findings of a recent survey which did show 50% of U.S. households could be considered a WWE fan household. And it was this research which has the WWE continuing to push with the planned network. Vince McMahon stated that the WWE's goal with the network will be to make it the most interactive network out there, stressing WWE's social media initiatives, and that 80 to 90% of investment spending is complete to build the network, and that the next big increase of spending would be to spend their money marketing the network launch.
I see.
Great. 50, more social media shoved down our throats.
50% of U.S. households, though. That seems like a pretty high number to me, though.
They're saying at least one person in 50% of the households across the United States is a WWE fan. I don't know about that either.
That's debatable.
But you know what? These research polls are about as accurate as television ratings.
I see. So. Well, aside from the WWE Network talk, WWE did chat other topics during their third quarter investor conference call. When it comes to the new three-hour Monday Night Raw format, Vince McMahon said that the third hour of Raw is doing extremely well, despite sagging ratings each week. Now, adding a second new primetime hour of TV with Main Event has also been a success, and combining that with the new Saturday Morning Slam and the ongoing YouTube programming, the WWE will have about 87 hours of original programming in the fourth quarter in 2012, compared to 52 hours in the fourth quarter of 2011. Now, Vince McMahon also stated that WWE will push forward with social media initiatives and expand the use of their new app during these TV shows.
The WWE iPhone app, that is, an Android app. So they're really going to start making a push for that. I'm wondering what took them so long. To me, that seemed like a no-brainer in the early days of the iPhone. But regardless, WWE did address the idea that there are two extremes of WWE audiences when it comes to age.
Yes.
You know, us and the little ones. And guess how they addressed it? By referencing the upcoming Rolling Stones pay-per-view that the WWE is co-promoting and the new Mattel Brawling Buddies. Pretty sure the people on the phone want to know about the actual in-ring content and not that.
You know what I want? I want a Mick Jagger Brawling Buddy.
Nice. Nicely done.
Well, TMZ.com is reporting that former WWE diva Amy Weber, says she is releasing photos she shot for Playboy after photos were stolen from her laptop last week. Weber told TMZ that her laptop was stolen on Wednesday in the Los Angeles area and the computer contained copies of nude photos that never made print. Amy and her management team decided to release the photos online rather than allow the thief to profit from releasing photos. No indication as to when the photos will actually be released by Amy, but hey Corey, this just in, Smack Talk Radio Live's viewership just sank as everyone rushed to their computers and now they're searching on Google.
No kidding. Is it bad that I didn't even remember who Amy Weber was?
No, because honestly, I didn't either.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep, let's move on.
But hey, you steal a chick's laptop and she's going to release her nude photos? That's a solid move. I think more girls should be listening to that. The U.S. Marine Corps have requested an opposition to WWE's trademark filing for Marine Homefront, which is the upcoming WWE Studios movie which features The Miz. According to Business Week, WWE filed three applications with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for marketing and licensing purposes, but the Marine Corps then filed a request to oppose the trademark. The Patent Office has given the Marines until December 12th to formally file its opposition.
Interesting. So they're basically filing to stop the WWE from using the Marine name, I guess, to make money.
They wanted Randy Orton out as the lead actor, and now they don't like the name. This movie has just got ugly written all over it.
Oh, jeez. Well, some sad news to pass along, as former WCW wrestler Brad Armstrong, real name Robert James, died Thursday morning. He was 51 years old. Jeez, young. Mm-hmm. Brad is the son of wrestler Bullet Bob Armstrong and his brothers with current WWE referee Scott Armstrong, wrestler Steve Armstrong, and the road dog Jesse James. WWE reported that Brad saw a physician last week for an undisclosed medical issue, but no cause of death has currently been released at this time. This has hit the wrestling community pretty hard, as many current and former WWE stars have taken to Twitter expressing their condolences and thoughts about Brad. Brad was a star in the Southern wrestling world and came to greater recognition with a brief run in WCW in the late 1980s and the early 90s. Brad was seen in the WWE in 2006, wrestling under the ECW brand, and was also seen on the stage at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony in Atlanta in 2011 to induct his father alongside with his brothers.
Sad.
Jeez, another young wrestling death.
Very connected with the wrestling world from what I understand as well. Moving along, in terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price, it did close at $8.80 a share today. That is up 71 cents from the start of the day, with the increase likely attributed to the investors' conference call. Now, to get back to the conference call that took place this morning, just some quick financial numbers released. The total revenue for the third quarter, it was $104.2 million, which is down 3.9% from quarter three in 2011. Net income, which is their earnings, that was $3.5 million, which would be down 67% from $21 million in quarter three of last year's. Now, you probably would want an explanation.
Yeah.
And the one they give is that the decline in earnings was driven by a more, I love how they say this, normalized level of management incentive compensation in the current year compared to a reduced level in the prior year. Meaning the bosses...
they got paid more.
Yeah. And they're also attributing reductions in home video revenue and lower video game sales. The WWE also reported $2.1 million was spent on WWE Network-related operating expenses during the quarter, which were primarily for new staffing costs. In terms of television ratings, quickly this week, WWE Monday Night Raw on October 29th, it scored a 2.94 rating for all 3 hours. Hmm. Just as a nice look back, if you remember the Halloween edition of Monday Night Raw 1 year ago that featured the Muppets.
That was good.
Well, that scored a 3.1 rating, which followed a 3.31 rating from the week prior. This was, of course, when Monday Night Raw was 2 hours. So,
right.
You know, well, a year ago, we're at 3.1, we're at 2.94, so it has dropped a little bit. But ratings were definitely up a little higher when Raw was 2 hours. Viewership this week trended downward throughout the show, averaging 4.31 million viewers in the first hour, dipping to 4.22 in the second hour, and then declining hard to 3.78 million in the third. This Monday's Raw, it was the night after Hell in a Cell, remember? You know, it says what it is. It's, you know, the numbers speak for itself, in my opinion. Overall, Monday Night Raw, it averaged 4.10 million viewers, which was above the previous 2 weeks.
Right.
Now, they did face competition from Monday Night Football, but all of cable TV was down in ratings, it appears, this week, mainly due to the effects of Hurricane Sandy.
Well, that's what happens when you have, you know, millions of people that are flooded out.
Yeah.
Can't watch their TVs
anymore.
They
got more important things to do than watch Dolph Ziggler tout.
Rescue their couch from floating away or something.
Now, something that did come down the line late this evening, Thursday evening, James, was that Lilia Garcia, she spoke to WWE.com for the first time since her accident, which was last Friday in Los Angeles. She was hit by an SUV while working out. She was not in a vehicle. She actually got hit I think just walking around.
Really?
I think so.
Was it like a drunk driver? Or
no, I've there's very few details, but that hasn't come out. But she was hit while working out. She did say today to WWE.com that she's suffering from head, neck, and back trauma, and that she has lacerations and wounds on the left side of her body. And she remains under close medical care since being released from the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center. That's pretty serious stuff.
Wishing Lillian Garcia a quick recovery.
Yes, absolutely. Let's not waste any time, James. That's the post-to-post report this week. I hope you're all caught up on the business of the business.
We're good.
All right. Let's get into Hell in a Cell and Monday Night Raw in a segment we call Tail the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
All right, James. Hell in a Cell happened this Sunday from Atlanta, Georgia. And I say Atlanta, Georgia loosely because I gotta admit, the crowd for the pay-per-view was one of the worst crowds I have ever seen.
I have to agree with you there. Oh. That crowd sat on its hands most of the show, and it really affected it, I think. I don't know.
I couldn't get into it. I could not get into the show sitting on the couch because of the crowd. And I mean, it's not just the crowd, but they were really, really quiet.
They were quiet. Even with the big spot at the end of the pay-per-view, CM Punk getting shell-shocked on the top of the cage, that's a high-caliber spot.
And the crowd just didn't care.
It was very lukewarm reaction, but...
Hell in a Cell, what did you think overall? We talked about this a little bit earlier, you weren't super happy with it?
No, I wasn't. I thought it would have been something greater than it was. If I was to give it a out of 10 rating, I'd probably give it about a 4. The stuff that I didn't like, I thought Orton and Del Rio was a sloppy match for two guys of their caliber. I thought the tag match had a stupid, stupid finish for all that build-up for that tag match at the pay-per-view with the huge tournament to determine who was going to be the number one contender. And then to end it up with a finish like that, I thought was really, really stupid. I enjoyed seeing the Big Show take the belt off of Sheamus. That was a really good match. Probably the match of the night, I would say.
Yep.
And, the finish in the cage match is...
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And, I mean, that's probably... No, I'd say that has got to be the shortest Hell in a Cell match in the history of Hell in a Cell matches. How long was that match? 11 minutes? 10 minutes?
Not very long. Under 20, for sure. I was going to give the pay-per-view a 5 out of 10. That was before consulting with you, because you and I hadn't even talked about that, really. We hadn't even had a chance to talk about the pay-per-view. In my head, I was going to give it a 5. Like I had said off the top of the show, I thought nothing progressed. There were more questions left than answered,
than the belt going on to Big Show. But
yeah, which is fine. Like I'm all down for cliffhangers, but that just seemed really poorly written, that show. And it seemed like they must have decided a lot of these things Sunday afternoon before the show started. And to me, it was evident that Big Show, I love Big Show taking the title back. Now, a lot of people have said, you know, why is the title going back onto the Big Show? Because his time, a lot of people, I'm reading on the internet that they're bored with the Big Show. And I disagree with that.
No
I think
way.
Big Show is putting out some of his best work.
Absolutely.
One thing I really liked was when he did win the title, he almost broke down crying. That is something that just, it makes the title win real.
Absolutely.
He didn't cave completely, right? Because a heel shouldn't start crying in the middle of the ring. But he almost did. And that just, to me, shows how important the World Heavyweight Championship is to the Big Show.
No, I totally agree with you. I think this current heel run that the Big Show is on has been a complete revitalization of his character. And I mean, let's face it, the most basic rule in wrestling is the money is in the chase. So why not put the belt on a big monster heel like Big Show?
I thought Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton was weak. There's something that...
For two guys of that skill, I thought so.
First of all, Randy Orton needs a refresher. I'm bored with him. I can't get excited about Randy Orton. I don't know why. I can't pinpoint it directly.
Once again, I am agreeing with you.
I really can't. Maybe it's because it's just I've seen the same thing week in and week out with him. And, you know, the silent viper gimmick only works for so long before you start to see it every week and it gets really repetitive.
He needs to be repackaged and he needs to be a heel, I think.
I
think he's way more comfortable as a heel. But the thing is you don't really have a lot of top baby faces right now, do you?
No, you don't. So you need him on that side. One thing I was going to mention about Alberto Del Rio, though, was I find with his matches, especially pay-per-view matches where the wrestling really stands out, is that he looks so predictable as a wrestler. I don't find his wrestling style to be that... it's not that exciting. I can see what he's doing from a mile away before he does it.
He needs to evolve his character somehow. He's just... If there's anybody in the promotion that I would say is stagnant, it would definitely have to be Del Rio. I mean,
well, I would put Randy Orton up there with him as well.
Well, I mean, Del Rio's pretty much the same, exact same as he was when he debuted. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2.5 years ago? He's like the exact same character.
There are a lot of wrestlers that are at a standstill, and you would argue that they haven't been given the appropriate amount of time to progress their characters, right?
Well, it all, again, boils down to that whole argument. I mean, is this creative having nothing for them? Or is it just them being lazy and not pitching ideas?
Well, there's always... Hey, let's put it this way. With Del Rio, at least we're not hearing him say the word destiny anymore.
Oh.
So at least he's gotten away from that. So he's progressed somewhat. Oh, I'm just joking. What else did I like? Well, let me talk about what I didn't like, because I didn't really like a
lot
of
things. We love talking about what we didn't like. Let's talk about what you didn't like.
Well, the one thing I did like was the Divas match, and I know that's very surprising, but I thought they gave him a really good amount of time. I thought the girls delivered in the Divas match. I liked that one.
I thought the Divas match was in the wrong spot in the card.
It's in the wrong spot on the show with the wrong crowd.
Yes.
I felt bad for those ladies.
I felt it really... Not slagging on the Divas here or anything, but I just felt that it really kind of brought the whole energy of the show down. It's like it's just a bad decision of where to put the match. I mean, we had this really great match with Big Show and Sheamus. The energy was really high after Big Show took the title off, and then it just...
Yeah.
Throwing that Divas match in right there just killed it all, really.
Now, what I didn't like, I did not like the tag team outcome.
No.
Kane and Daniel Bryan, get the titles off them and start the breakup. I'm ready for that to happen. And the finish to the main event, it's a dumb move. I don't care about this referee coming in and Brad Maddox and helping Punk. And, you know, it's... I don't like these finishes where they just come out of left field and it throws a whole new twist to the story. Like I really think there should have been a clear winner there, and I can understand why they didn't, because they want to progress the storyline, but I just feel like pick a guy and
I hear what you're saying, but does this kind of take some of the luster, some of the shine off of the Ryback character now that he's got this asterisked loss?
First of all, you're not even talking about a winning streak anymore. So that momentum is gone, right?
Right.
He's now officially lost.
But what if they go back and like strike the match from the records or something and say and say that his loss never counted?
Yeah, I know they could, but that's
do something cheesy like that, right?
And they probably will. But I don't know. Like the momentum with Ryback is a little less, I think.
Right.
I don't think they're making a bad move by pushing Ryback. I think it is a bit of a, you know, it's a smart gamble because, you know, you don't have a lot going right now. So why not push this?
Well, you
got to
make, well, we've been saying on the show here for the last year, they got to start making new guys, mm-hmm. right? John Cena's not getting any younger.
And they've done that.
And yeah, other than Ryback and like who else is there for top babyface? Sheamus, really? Would you put him up?
Sheamus,
at that
level? Cena, Kane, and Daniel Bryan.
It's
yeah, not many.
It's or Orton. I mean, it's
Taker,
the week.
But he's not even part of it. The Rock, he's not even there.
Yeah, but you can't count guys.
No,
like,
I know
you can't count guys like
that. No, you're right. There's not a lot.
Yeah, so. Well, they got to do something, right?
In Vince's eyes, you only need one though. You only need one face. John Cena.
That's not
bad. Everyone else doesn't matter. You've got to have John Cena versus 30 heels and Vince is happy.
You just have John Cena wrestle like 6 matches in an episode of Raw.
One thing with Ryback though, I feel like he is not all he's hyped up to be. Yes, he looks impressive physically, but that match at Hell in a Cell was short. I think for a reason, what I've been saying all along,
yeah,
he gasses
like
out early.
They're very apprehensive towards letting him work a longer match, it seems.
Not to mention that Hell in a Cell match, it was the only Hell in a Cell match on the card, and it didn't even feel like a Hell in a Cell match. What was so great about it? When Ryback threw Brad Maddox against the cage, that was the only real spot other than the very end of the show, which utilized the Hell in a Cell.
What did you think of that spot?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
That was the only part. Those were the only parts that utilized the Cell. The rest of the match was just a normal match, and for that reason, it's like I feel like you're kind of ripping the fans off a little bit by naming it the Hell in a Cell pay per view, and then you have this Hell in a Cell match which doesn't go very long, and it doesn't even deliver.
Yeah.
The match is forgettable. To me, the match is completely forgettable.
Totally. You think I'm gonna like you asked me in 3 months if. Do you remember the main event of Hell in a Cell? I'll be like, hell no, I don't remember that.
No.
But what about that spot at the end? Did you think did you think CM Punk was going to go through the cage? I was on
the
edge of my seat for a little bit there. I was like, oh my God, is he actually going to...
And if that did happen,
Jesus
and CM
Christ.
Punk and Ryback went through the roof of the cage there, I swear to God, that would have been one of the best moments in WWE history.
That would have been... They'd have been replaying that spot for 20 years. 20 years from now, they'd still be replaying that spot.
Like, part of me was happy that it didn't happen because I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, these guys are going to kill themselves if they actually do that. But then the other part of me was like, oh my God, this could make everything else about the pay-per-view not matter.
This one spot could salvage the whole show.
Yeah. And that would have, then this pay-per-view would have went from forgettable to really memorable.
But let's get realistic here. That's like a 20-foot drop.
If you're paying me that much money, I will take that bump. I will say it. Any wrestler can debate me, but I'm telling you right now, you pay me that money, I will take that bump.
I'm not even going to touch that.
That's fine. I will. I'll say it to anyone.
Okay, so basically, Hell in a Cell, a little
forgettable.
Bit average to below average.
And forgettable.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they followed it up the next night. I mean, they just basically admitted to the fans themselves that it was a forgettable pay-per-view. Mm. They didn't even really make mention of what happened the night before.
Yeah, there was like no resolution to the whole Brad Maddox angle. Like, they didn't even bring him out or have him on TV. Nothing. There was like one little mention of him and then...
So they move Monday. They go to Monday Night Raw from Charlotte, North Carolina. The fans just as bad as the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But the thing that really bothers me is how they just set up the main event of Survivor Series just like this.
Well, they have to. They've only got 3 weeks until the next pay-per-view, which is really kind of odd. But you were like, maybe you were mentioning that it was like a logistical issue or something.
Okay, let me ask you this. After you watched Hell in a Cell,
right?
You know, you're immediately starting to think, okay, what's going to happen tomorrow night on Raw? What did you think, but without knowing what you know now, what did you think the WWE would do to follow up the Brad Maddox controversy, the Ryback loss, and the CM Punk, CM Punk retaining the title. How did you think they were going
to
follow up?
Well, I thought they were going to definitely address Brad Maddox. I thought for sure we were going to have Brad Maddox come out to start the show. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought there'd probably be a rematch between Ryback and CM Punk set up for Survivor Series. In a way, it kind of was, but in not the fashion that I thought there would have been.
No.
I thought maybe it would have been another singles match or something, or maybe even a tag match, right?
I was expecting a rematch.
Something, right?
Ryback gets completely screwed.
Right.
And I was expecting him to come out and address the screw job.
I was expecting,
and then say, "I want my shot now."
Exactly. I was expecting, to be honest with you, Monday Night Raw. I was 100% convinced we were going to start the show out with either A, Brad Maddox, or B, Vince McMahon. One of those two guys was going to come out to start the show.
And if you're gonna be a reputable wrestling promotion, would you not give a guy like Ryback another shot, considering what happened to him the night before? Would you not come out on behalf of the WWE and say, look, you know, we got screwed by the referee here. That's not how we like to operate here in the WWE. Ryback, you're going to get your second shot, you know, your fair shot, and it's going to happen tonight. Like, wouldn't that be more realistic than what they've done here?
Well, let's face it, Corey. Logic's not exactly high on the to-do list of the WWE creative team. I mean, they put a quote-unquote replacement referee in the main event of their pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? A Hell in a Cell match is the main event of your pay-per-view. Don't you think you'd have your senior referee a match like that? It doesn't make sense.
So Monday Night Raw
sets up. But there's got to be a reason for it, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Or is there?
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw sets up Survivor Series, which is happening November 18th from the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Now, November 18th, that's less than 3 weeks away, James. They actually only have 3 Monday Night Raws to convince the fans to buy this pay-per-view.
And we've already seen one of them.
So what they do, yeah. And so what they do here is they announce a standard elimination-style Survivor Series matchup. You're going to have Team Punk on one side, and that's going to consist of CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, the Rhodes Scholars, and The Miz taking on Team, of all people, Mick Foley. Mick Foley comes back from out of nowhere,
yeah,
and
no
he gets
kidding.
Into a confrontation with CM Punk, and he sets up his team consisting of Randy Orton, Kane and Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, and what everyone thought was supposed to be Mick Foley in the last spot on the team, but no, it turns out it's Ryback.
So basically, they just took everybody who was feuding before Hell in a Cell, put them on teams, and now that's your main event for Survivor Series.
Here's CM Punk talking Survivor Series.
Oh, shut up. Shut up and listen to somebody who knows what he's talking about. It's Survivor Series. It's going to be a celebration. A celebration of 1 year of me being WWE champion. And what better way to celebrate than take a delusional, completely out of his mind, disrespectful so-called legend Mick Foley and put him out of his misery. See, Mick Foley wants something that I have, and no, I'm not talking about the title. Not even Mick is that delusional. He wants the spotlight. He wants to be on covers of video games, but he can't because his time is gone. It is now my time. So the spotlight that he craves is now going to cost him the last 2 teeth in his stupid head. At Survivor Series, I teach Mick Foley about respect. I teach Mick Foley how to survive.
I know you're already a fan. I know you're a fan of the traditional Survivor Series matchup, James. But is this match good enough to sell the pay-per-view?
This match? I don't know. Is it bad to say that there's... doesn't feel like there's enough star power in this main event match?
No, and what's funny to me, and it's funny you say that, is because you know when Mick Foley was introducing his team of 5, and he got to the last competitor, for some reason Ryback didn't clue into my head.
It didn't clue into mine either. I thought it was going to be John Cena.
I thought it was going to be The Rock. I thought it was going to be The Rock.
No, because, I have to laugh at you for that. Well, one,
Rock showed up at last year's Survivor Series. That's sort of when he started his run towards the upcoming WrestleMania.
No, I can understand how you would think that.
Friends with Mick Foley. I was disappointed that it was Ryback. That's not enough. This is not enough for me to buy Survivor Series.
So if you were disappointed that it's Ryback, then they aren't doing their job of selling Ryback as this top babyface character.
Well, everyone knows I'm not sold on Ryback anyways. I'm not a big fan of him. I'm not.
I could be in the minority here, right?
No, but I could be in the minority here. Maybe there are people that are really starting to like Ryback. I don't think so, based off the crowd reaction in Atlanta, because they didn't care. Well, and I'm not caring about this match either, because what happens, what's the ramifications of this big main event match? This Survivor Series style elimination match as your main event, what's the outcome? One guy wins the match and that's it. We all go home and that's it.
Well, I wonder if they're going to add some kind of stipulation to the match, or maybe even add the WWE title into it somehow. It have to be like a winner take all.
But what if they don't?
I don't know. Okay. If that's what you're saying, your question to me, no. As it currently stands, this match is not enough for me to buy Survivor Series.
Okay, now here is a complete ridiculous question. Is this not the main event of the pay-per-view? Perhaps we haven't seen what the main event is yet.
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
I don't think that's true, but I thought about that. You know, like they're gearing it's the first week on the build to Survivor Series. They tease you a little bit by giving you this match. Everyone's kind of left scratching their heads going, well, it's okay, but it's not the best.
No, actually, now that I think about it, I think this will definitely be the main event match.
Yeah.
A, because I think they want to keep Punk in that main event
picture. But what if John Cena's ready to come
slot,
back?
I say.
What if John Cena's ready to come back?
Well, who would you have him face? What, Dolph Ziggler, maybe? With this whole...
And that's the question mark, right? Yeah. I would... If I had said to you the other day, if John Cena was ready to come back, I would love to see Rock and Cena 2 at Survivor Series. But they're not going to have Rock come back with only two more Raws to build
no,
to the
that's
show.
Not enough. That's no. not enough, Bill.
So that's not it, going that's, to happen.
That's purely a WrestleMania match. There's no way they would ever have that match not at WrestleMania.
I know, but I'd rather have it at Survivor Series so I don't have to see it again at WrestleMania. That's my way of
there
thinking.
There you go. That's a good way of thinking, actually.
Okay, well, my original question stands true. There's no championship on the line. You know, if you don't bring the championship...
I think that's by design, actually.
So what's the point of this match? For Punk to teach Mick Foley a lesson about respect?
Exactly.
That is so ridiculous.
Yeah, as it stands, there's no real point other than just it being a pissing match between CM Punk and Mick Foley, right? But I think another reason that they've done this is just so they can extend Punk's title reign for another month, have him get away from defending his title, and maybe gear him up towards this big match with The Rock at Royal Rumble.
It's interesting.
I think that's the direction they want to take, is to have this CM Punk versus Rock match at the Rumble.
So in a sense, this is 3 weeks of time filler.
Pretty much, yeah.
And why Mick Foley?
As it stands right now.
And why Mick Foley?
Yeah, exactly. Why Mick Foley?
Is it because he had such a great promo a month and a half ago that everyone has already sort of moved on from? And
you know what? I would not be surprised if, because of that promo that they had together and the TV ratings kind of went up, they're like, hey, let's bring Foley back and throw him in this big...
He's not even wrestling.
...angle up to... I know, it's just... But you know what? So but here's if he raises ratings, let's get him out there on TV. That's the mentality.
You should have followed up.
I think that's the mentality. But
to me, that promo that they had on Monday, that Mick Foley had on Monday Night Raw a month and a half ago, or whenever it was, they should have followed up the next week with Mick Foley, not a month and a half later, having him valet a main event match.
Valet, I like that.
Well, that's what he is.
Yeah, pretty much, essentially.
Like, it's a bad move. This whole thing is a bad move, and I was already disappointed with the ending to Hell in a Cell, and then you come out the next night on Monday Night Raw, and you disappoint me even more. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the good in the show, but I'm having a hard time doing that.
Yeah, no, as it stands right now, I'm not really sold on this match. How many times can we say this? Exactly. That's got to be the third time I've said that.
All right, well then, let's move on. I'm not going to waste any more time. They're going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste any of yours, I promise.
Attaboy.
Let's talk about, someone I love talking about, John Cena.
You love John Cena. He's your favorite.
Well, someone I don't mind is AJ. And someone I also don't mind is Vicky Guerrero. These three are getting very involved. Not in the way you might think. AJ and John Cena wrapped up in this business meeting. Vicky Guerrero, the new managing supervisor of Monday Night Raw, she's got evidence against AJ and Cena that these two are little more than just a business meeting.
Oh,
Here's AJ and Vicky on this past
Monday's
Raw.
How many times can I do that?
Nothing's going on, and you know that, okay? Wait, just tell me a little thing. I mean, how was the pillow talk, and did he give you a good goodnight kiss? I mean, was he romantic and sweet, and did y'all say sweet nothings to each other? Like, just admit that you care for John Cena. I'll put you on my roster. I'll make you a WWE diva. I mean, your problems will be solved. No. I'm not going to do that. Because nothing happened. Okay, I don't know who gave you those pictures or the video or who's starting these rumors, but I refuse. Look, Vicky, the WWE means everything to me. But you are not worth lying for, or hurting John, or shredding my dignity. This interview is over.
There's only one way that this storyline can be really successful in my mind. They have to reference the Hulk Hogan sex tape at least once.
That would be so funny, man.
Do you think they do that?
I don't. You know what? I would laugh so hard if Vicky shows up with this video evidence and it's like this grainy security footage in the corner of a bedroom or something like
that. How good would that be?
Oh, that would just be so awesome.
Vicky has said via Twitter that she has more video evidence that these two are involved.
Oh, she's got
somehow.
More. Oh, there's a possibility.
What do you make of all this?
I don't know. What's the eventual payoff for this? A match between John Cena and Dolph Ziggler? A match between AJ and Vicky? Goddamn, who wants to see that?
I think this is just, again, time filler until John Cena returns from injury.
Well, hasn't he already been technically medically cleared?
But he did wrestle his first match at a house show on Wednesday, yesterday.
I think I remember reading something about that.
That's right. So he is sort of trying to get back into the ring. So, I don't know. Personally, this is... You know what I'm going to say here, don't you? This is what I honestly believe.
Yeah.
And I have no proof. I said this last week. I don't know for sure. I am a nobody. But I think that Cena and AJ have something going on. And this is their little way of flirting with each other. And John Cena has said to AJ, don't worry, I'll get us written in storylines together. And this is what they've come up with.
Holy.
Again.
Scandalous.
I know. Well, not really, because Cena is a single man now.
Yeah.
He's allowed to do whatever he wants. And we all know this kind of pull John Cena has around Monday Night Raw. And if these two are sort of involved, then this is kind of like on-screen flirting. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see down the road that it comes out that these two actually are together.
An interesting little conjecture there.
Again, I have no proof. That is complete my opinion, and that is what it is.
Did you see Kurt Angle on his Twitter account ripping on the WWE for supposedly stealing ideas from TNA?
Yes, because this is sort of like
this parallel the Claire Lynch angle that they were doing earlier this year quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
But again, you raised the question, where is the payoff? I really don't know.
Exactly.
And at this point, it's more just like people sitting in front of their television sets doing what you did a minute ago.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
There's nothing more to it at this time. Here's one thing I don't like about it. I don't like how Vicky Guerrero threatens AJ, you know, wants to fire her unless she does this or that or whatever. And then at the very end, she goes, okay, you're back as a wrestler.
Well, no.
Wouldn't you just eliminate your problem? Eliminate your headache?
Well, she did explain that the board of directors asked her to make AJ a performer again.
Oh, so. I missed that part.
Yeah, you must have.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Anyway, sorry to slap you down there, my friend. But
is this even board of directors
real?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Is anything with the WWE real?
I don't even know what to say about this angle at this point in time. I don't know.
It's like you were just saying before. It's got to be time filler for Cena just to keep him. To keep him relevant on the television show until...
And my question mark...
He's ready to work full-time again, I guess.
I
don't know.
The question at this time is, you know, what's the payoff? Where will it go? If that doesn't get answered in the next couple weeks, I'm going to stop caring about it altogether.
I think it's going to be a Ziggler-Cena match. And maybe this could be the thing that Ziggler needs to finally push him up to that main event status as a high-profile feud with Cena. Who knows?
Moving on, because I don't want to waste any more time on that shit topic. Did I say that? Sorry.
There it is.
Big Show did claim the World Heavyweight Championship from Sheamus at Hell in a Cell.
That was a good match. I mean, the first, it dragged it a little bit in the beginning.
I thought it was the best wrestled match on the show.
It really picked up at the end.
And I was very into it. And I'm usually not into the big heavyweights slugging it out. But that one got to me. And it was very, they told the story very
well.
They
told a good story, and it had a it had a good buildup for the 6 weeks coming into it.
So. Brogue kick versus knockout punch. You know, it came
very
down.
Very basic, very old school.
I loved how they both kicked out of their each other's finishers once, and then it came down to that final one, and you're like, all right, who's going to hit it? Right? Yeah. Anyways, Big Show does take the title. I wasn't sure if they were going to continue their ongoing feud the next night on Monday Night Raw. It does look like they're going to go that way.
I think so, yeah. I think there's going to be a rematch at Survivor Series between the both of them, isn't there?
Well, let's find out. Here's Big Show and Sheamus from this past Monday's Raw.
Whatever you bring just isn't going to be enough. I wipe smiles off in people's faces, and I enjoy it. And I'm going to enjoy knocking the smile off your face. Sheamus, look at me, you red-headed ginger snap. You can't beat me. And you will never take this championship from me.
You know, Show, that was a magnificent speech. I mean, beautiful. And, you know, congratulations on the World Heavyweight Championship. But, fella, I've got a question for you. Have you actually ever seen a ginger snap?
Oh, look at this. Sheamus, 450 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Great noise. Oh, my God. Sheamus will not be intimidated.
Big Show.
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to be continuing their feud on into Survivor Series. I was just reading some SmackDown spoilers, so if you don't like spoilers, turn off the show right now.
All
right. It was announced on SmackDown. Yeah, there's going to be a rematch between Sheamus and Big Show at
there you go.
Survivor Series. So who knows? Maybe that'll be the main event.
This is something that's actually been built properly. That's really all I want to say about this. I'm fine with Sheamus losing the title to Big Show. You know, the build-up to Hell in a Cell was good.
Yeah.
Big Show winning was great. I was very happy to see that. And if they're going to continue that and give Sheamus his rematch, that's fine.
Now you have Sheamus chasing, which is good.
I hope he doesn't beat him, because I'd like to see Big Show stay champion.
I hate when they hot potato belts like
that. But I'm fine with this whole build-up. To me, this is great. Yeah. I'm liking this. And Big Show, this is some of his best work in years, I think.
Yeah.
I'm very into Big Show.
I totally agree. Yeah, he's got to be a heel. That's what it really comes down to. A big guy like Big Show.
Yeah.
Same with guys like Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Kali, whatever. They got to be heels, those big guys.
I'm never a fan of, like, if Sheamus loses at Hell in a Cell, and then the next night he comes out and he's standing tall at the end. Like, it's just so classic of WWE to make their, you know, John Cena of SmackDown look tall at the end.
It's the formulaic, you know, WWE writing process.
And they did it with Alberto
Del Rio. One guy stands tall, and the next week the next guy stands tall.
Yeah.
And the next week after that, the other guy stands tall.
I know.
Very formulaic, right?
I guess you have to in this situation, because you got to make people believe that Sheamus has a shot heading into Survivor Series.
Well, that's the one thing they've done with Sheamus, is they've made him look strong throughout the whole thing. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of believability that he beat the Big Show and take the title back, which is good, which is a good thing. It makes the match more believable.
Anything else you want to chat about Monday Night Raw before we move on to the local wrestling scene?
Jerry Lawler coming back in 2 weeks.
Yes. And we kind of addressed this, but one thing I was going to say was with Brad Maddox, you know, we didn't see him at all this week on Raw.
Yeah. So is this just going to be another angle that they're going to sweep under the rug and make us try to forget about?
No, I think apparently he had a board of directors meeting today in Connecticut, according to the WWE website.
He had to meet with the board of directors.
Yeah.
So why couldn't they do that on Raw?
And as I was saying to you earlier...
Or something like that on
Raw. As I was saying to you... So right now they've suspended Brad Maddox, right?
Okay. Even though he's a replacement referee in the first place.
Isn't what he has done in the main event of a pay-per-view... Isn't that grounds for just immediate firing?
Yeah. And it's like, why do you need to go in front of a committee or the board of directors anyways? It's right there on video. It's like...
And you know what the sad part about this is? Is that he will keep his job. Brad Maddox will keep his job.
In some way, shape, or form, right?
He shouldn't, but he will.
There's the WWE for you.
You know, you watch. He's gonna turn out to be a performer here soon. So,
but Jerry Lawler returning in 2 weeks. Yeah, that should be definitely interesting. Just in time for Survivor Series.
Do you think that means that Jim Ross will get the boot then? Or
I hope not. I like seeing Ross.
I do like seeing Ross too, but I have a feeling that's kind of what it'll mean. Jim Ross will go back to doing NXT with Regal.
Interesting. All right, Tale of Tape wraps it up for another week. Let's start talking local wrestling, James. Halloween Hell.
Big show. That was awesome.
Big show. Let's get into it here with the local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene. Bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, the local wrestling scene, James, catching you up on everything happening around the Pacific Northwest. Now, we did have I would say the most entertaining show, or was it, in Vancouver this past Saturday?
Well, it was something, that's for sure.
ECCW's Halloween Hell, and that was, if you need any info on that, let's just get it out of the way right now, www.eccw.com. Now, you and I were there at the show at the Sapperton Pensioners Hall in New Westminster. And also, this man was here, our local wrestling insider. I believe we're now calling him the Dolph Ziggler of our show, the most underrated, underpaid, overlooked, and overworked Corey Basso.
I don't know about Dolph Ziggler, but...
Corey Basso, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, fellas. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, not too bad. So, Halloween Hell came and gone. You were dressed up as, I don't know what you were, a Mexican immigrant or something. What were you calling it again?
That was my Azul Angel costume.
Oh.
I had a sombrero, a nice thick mustache, and of course the always popular across the border in Tijuana garbage bag poncho.
It was very, very well done, especially for putting it together the last moment, I believe you told me. So.
For under $7, and that included maracas too. I forgot that.
And you know what? The maracas were a great touch because it means you don't have to clap at all during the show or yell. You could just shake the maracas and you're good to go.
And everyone kept looking in my direction. It was win-win. I couldn't have lost.
Well, that's because you had something on your face. Not because of your maracas. You were wearing a pretty good mustache. All right, Basso.
Let's talk about the event.
So, both you guys, let me ask you right off the bat. I'll start with Basso. Your thoughts on ECCW's Halloween Hell that took place last weekend?
Oh, boy. Lots of violence. I don't think there was any shortage of violence. For me, a little bit too much violence. I like to see a little bit more of a climax towards violence.
So does my girlfriend.
I didn't mind the booking. I liked some of the weapons the fans brought. I thought they had some creative spots. I thought the length of the event was a little bit long. And I also didn't like the length of the intermission, which I felt kind of killed a lot of the crowd and killed a lot of buzz.
I would tend to agree with that. I kind of usually step outside for the intermission, but they did have to set up the Chamber of Extremes, so I mean, it's a little understandable.
There was a little bit of a chairs fiasco, a little bit of musical chairs going on.
Yes, I remember that as well.
Something happened there logistically where the intermission was probably about 20 minutes longer than it should have been, and a lot of the crowd was just out of it. People who maybe had a few drinks before coming in were... The buzz was getting killed. A lot of people left after that, and I thought it killed a little bit. But still, it doesn't take away from the wrestling at all, but if you're sitting there for a while, it killed your spirit a bit.
James, what did you think overall?
Well, I thought it was, for what it was a very enjoyable show. I thought last year's Halloween Hell was just a little bit better. My biggest issue with the whole thing was just the venue that they were in, the Sapperton Pensioners Hall. It's really just this little out-of-the-way hall, and it wasn't really set up, or wasn't really the greatest venue to accommodate the 500 people that were there, because it was really packed. I mean...
I was going to say, I didn't mind the venue. I personally enjoyed it.
I don't know. I mean, I got there half hour before the show started with my girlfriend, waited in line, and by the time we got there, there was no seats left, so... And the roof was actually really low, so when guys would go up to the top rope, their head would be almost touching the top of the roof.
That seems to be more common, though.
It kind of made it hard to do some of their high spots, which is... You know, can get the crowd into it and stuff.
So
like
you
that,
didn't like the you didn't like the Pensioners Hall?
No, I didn't like the venue at all.
Basso, what did you think of the Pensioners Hall?
I'm going to tend to agree with James there. It was pretty tight quarters, especially for a show where you kind of need a little bit of a ceiling to do that. I also thought it was quite packed. I, like James, came in there with a party of four. I know James was there, two people I brought four, but we were without chairs and we were standing for a better part of the night. And you know what? That killed us too, man, because we had girls with us wearing heels because they were in costume.
Trust me, I heard it from my girlfriend too.
trying to be part of the show, and they were sore, and they wanted to sit down, and it took out of the event. You gotta make the marks happy too, damn it.
Yeah. But on an event like Halloween Hell, where you're gonna have all this extreme wrestling and craziness, do you not want a bit of an intimate atmosphere? Do you not want the venue to be smaller? Because I've been to wrestling shows, independent wrestling shows, where the venue's too large and you got 50 people sitting in there, and it really detracts from the show. It doesn't matter how good the wrestlers do in the ring. It's still, you're not feeling it because it feels empty.
I don't know, Coy. I'm not that intimate, man. I don't want to have to be worried about the guy in front of me farting and having to smell it all night. So,
you know what? I stood the entire time. I didn't mind it. I personally like that venue because for me, okay, obviously the low roof is a bit of an issue, but for me, I like the idea that when you're walking down the road, I can't remember the exact street it's on, Keery, I believe.
Keery, yeah.
When you walk down Keery Street, you wouldn't even know that a wrestling event was going on there.
No.
And isn't that kind of what you want as a promoter?
Yeah, yes and
no. You don't want to piss off the neighborhood. You didn't even know that Halloween Hell was taking place down the way into the building there. That's what I liked about it. It was a very conspicuous location is what I'm getting at. And I think the atmosphere inside was okay, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I like to think that the atmosphere inside was great. The atmosphere inside was very frenzied for the first half of the show. It was excellent. The fans were rabid. And I agree with your comment of being a little bit inconspicuous with your location and stuff like that, but I sincerely think, and I sincerely hope, from the bottom of my heart, that this is just a temporary fix until the Bridgeview Hall is open again, because I'd like to see Halloween Hell.
Agreed.
Well, I've actually talked to the mayor of Surrey myself personally about Bridgeview Hall, and I've asked...
Mayor Watts?
Yes. And I've asked her, what is the deal with this? Because I'm interested to know, and she has told me that at this point, the city of Surrey wanted to come in and do a complete overhaul, and they're still unsure if they're going to put a governing body that takes care of that building and many other community centers around Surrey, or if they're going to give it back to the same people. So really, the question mark is still there. But one thing is certain is that if they do get back into Bridgeview Hall, it should look very refreshed and almost brand new-like, from what I understand.
As long as they get rid of those god-awful orange lights.
Oh, I'm sure that's on the agenda. I would hope so.
Okay, let me throw...
I love the Bridgeview Hall.
Yeah, me too. A Halloween Hell, really, it does well there. And it's got to... I agree with both of you. I mean, as much as I didn't mind this venue, Halloween Hell has to happen at Bridgeview Hall. It's just the way it is.
All right, let me throw this at you, boys. What was your favorite match and what was your favorite moment? Halloween Hell.
Basso, you go first.
Oh, boys, you put me on the spot. Thanks.
Gives me time to think myself.
Okay, from pillar to post, I will go with Sid Sylum and Jason Sullivan. One, because I'm a large supporter of Sid Sylum. Two, because Sylum jobbed out, I think, at every single hell. We talked to him about that on this show, that he's never won a hell, so it was good to see him get off the schneid. Three, he won the championship belt. And four, the best part, he slugged a woman with a chain and hit her with a tombstone. What's better than that, boy?
The one thing I didn't like about the Sylum-Jason Sullivan match was how quickly... Sylum lost the first blood match, which was the first stipulation of the three stages of hell. He lost that very quickly. Yeah,
but they were going into their fourth hour at that point, so...
Was it 4 hours already?
Oh, it was like... Yeah, the whole show was like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, but that would be the one thing that detracted from that match. But I thought it was a pretty solid match.
Yeah. And a moment? Did you have a moment that stood out for you? Moment, spot, anything?
Basso?
Sure. I'll go with Bishop splatting himself on the ladder. I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but he did it. And Bishop does it every show, and he seems to always pull it out of the hat. And I say kudos, Bishop, but you got marks on your ass that no one would fucking wish upon anybody. So it's bad news.
How about those whips that he took from the straitjacket leather straps? Ooh. There? Whew.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the marks on him after that? That was vicious.
No kidding.
He's going to be hurting the next day.
No kidding.
Okay, for me, my favorite match was LP versus the King of the Yukon. That was really good. And for me, the best moment had to be Scotty Sweater Vest, which is their ring announcer, laying the stunner onto LP and then dropping the people's elbow.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that was the biggest pop of the night.
It was the biggest pop of the night. I don't know how that happened, but the fans were loving it.
Oh, it was just the roof blew off when he hit that stunner.
One thing, I agree with you, James. I thought the best match of the night was El Fantasmo versus King of the Yukon. I got to say, King of the Yukon is, to me, one of the best wrestlers this territory has. I eat everything this guy does up.
Great character.
You put him in the ring with LP, and it's a match made in heaven. Like, the LP obviously can hold his own in the ring, but King of the Yukon just brings this element of, I don't want to, it's not the word comedy, it's just
he tells a story with his character
exactly
when he wrestles.
And he does it so well.
Yeah.
Now, for me, the best moment of the night for ECCW Halloween Hell was Scotty Mac going through the table. Moondog Manson throwing Scotty Mac outside the ring through the table. That was a sick, sick bump.
Oh, I had to cringe at that one.
How about this?
Well, Scotty Mac is known to be a Halloween Hell player, and he proved it there. I mean, it ain't easy to go through one of those tables. No. It was pretty sick.
How about this, though, Basso? Let's turn it around. What was the worst moment of the night?
I hate to do this because I love both guys. I really do. And I think one of them is going to get a tap on the shoulder as far as the big boy scene is concerned, probably sometime sooner than later. I'm going to go with Pete Powers and the Cremator. The one thing I didn't like about it most is that it unnecessarily introduced weapons way too early into the show. And it was just a bunch of repetitive chair shots. There was no real story behind it. I mean, I know Cremator came and got beat down afterwards to kind of build his storyline with the evil faction that's been going after him. But really, it kind of dragged on, and it was a bit much for me. And that being said, I love Pete Powers. I'll put him over any day. I didn't like his face character, but ever since he's gone heel and he's gone to Mexico, he's come back. I love Powers, and I love Cremator too, but for some reason, it just didn't mesh for me, and I'm going to go with that one, unfortunately.
How about you, James?
Worst moment? Oh, geez, it's hard to think of one.
Really?
Yeah, no, I can't. I don't exactly have a moment that just sticks out in my head that made me cringe or go,
what about the
I
fans like bring the weapons match?
I quite like that, actually.
Really?
I did. I enjoyed it. I thought there were some very innovative weapons. The giant calculator was one. The the hockey glove that had the tacks in it, that was another one.
All right. Well, for my worst moment, I'm going to go with everything Azeem the Dream did.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Azeem, if you're listening. I apologize. But when you put your hands up to take a baking sheet aluminum tray to the head in a fans bring the weapons match, you're not doing it for me. He was putting his hands up for that. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're in this match. Take some pain. And for that for that reason alone, that he is the worst moment of Halloween. Okay. All right, so
you know what he's gonna come and say to you now, man. Look at the can of worms you just opened.
He can come say whatever he wants. I will hold my own. Oh, I promise you.
Oh gosh.
All right, so Halloween Hell done and over with. We now have. Do you have any last comments on Halloween Hell, Basso or James, before I move on?
All I gotta say, it's gotta be at Bridgeview Hall.
Okay, Basso.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that too.
All right, ECCW Shooting Star 6. That is happening this Saturday, November 3rd, in Vancouver at the Russian Community Center, Russian Cultural Center. Or no, it's Community Center, sorry. And for the first time ever, we're going to see a 15-foot steel cage in that venue. My question is the ceiling even 15 feet high? I'm not quite sure, but we're going to see The Riot, a tag team championship match, I should say. The Riot versus The Stallions, Artemis Spencer and Tony Baroni. That should be an interesting match. Scotty Mac versus Ray Brooks. I don't know what to make of that one, but it's another match on the show. Is Mandy still associated with Ray Brooks?
Yes. Didn't you see her all dazzled up at Halloween Hell? Probably took the prize for costume of the night, I would think.
I had a joke ready to go there, but I'm deciding not to go with it.
Moving on.
We got Sid Sylum taking on Jamie Diaz in an ECCW championship match. That'll be Sid Sylum's first title defense as the new champion versus Jamie Diaz. That should be all right.
That'll be a good match.
What did you think about Jamie Diaz at Halloween Hell, actually, Basso?
He's very stiff with weapons. If you watch him, close, he delivers like a good shot. And he usually bleeds buckets, but if you watched him at Halloween Hell, he controlled his bleeding. He kept it under control.
How about that Hurricanrana that he took through the table? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
My gosh, that was a good spot with Plexus. That was excellent.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very good spot.
That was good.
We're also going to see.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're also going to see a Texas shootout, a 6-person elimination, falls count anywhere. I guess they're going to have multiple. They're going to have points for which place you come in this match. A win would earn you 30 points, for example. Second place would win you 20 points, and so on. I guess this is something they've been doing for a while already.
Seems very similar to the Bound for Glory series.
Kind of, yeah. Texas Shootout, they're calling it. That's going to consist of the Greedfather, Jordy Taylor, the King of the Yukon, Azeem the Dream, El Phantasmo, Nicole Matthews, and Ethan HD. But then the main event is going to be a steel cage match with the top two competitors of this Texas Shootout, I suppose. So really, the main event is up in the air at this point.
Should be a good
You're
show.
I think so.
Is that a good idea? Is it a good idea to not have a main event announced other than we'll find out later in the show? That's a question I'm asking.
That's not a bad idea. I'm not totally against that.
Interesting. Well,
I like it.
You do like it.
Yes, I do. I think. Why not? Throw it at them. Come on. Give the crowd. I'm sure everybody knows what it's going to be. Like, let's face it. We all know. Like, they know what it's going to be. But throw a curveball at the fans.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of doubt. I think it's an excellent idea.
Is it safe to say, like, how the WWE has the post-WrestleMania lull? We're now in the post-Halloween lull?
Post-Halloween hell.
Well, I don't think so. Get a cage match right afterwards. I think you're just giving fans maybe who didn't see Hell a little bit more reason to come out. Like, hey, you missed Hell, but guess what? We're having another cage match, so come see it. Like, you know, I think it's pretty good.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that takes place this Saturday, November 3rd, ECCW.com for tickets. That's at the Russian Community Center. Doors open at 7:30, bell time at 8. Basso, before we let you go, quick thoughts on WWE this week. Did you watch Hell in a Cell, and did you watch the Monday Night Raw that followed?
Well, I was streaming Hell in a Cell online, a very shoddy stream at best. It was not great. And I also had my fellow former local wrestling insider, Shane Lochran, feeding me tweets with updates. Monday Night Raw afterwards didn't give me much. I mean, the 5-on-5 Survivor Series was, I guess, fun. I mean, it's always nice to see them go back to the roots of some of their old pay-per-views, especially with the Survivor Series, because that was one of my old favorites. But I wasn't overly excited on Raw, but that being said, I think they made some progress at Hell. I definitely didn't see the ending to Sheamus and Big Show going like that. I definitely didn't see the ending to Punk and Ryback going like that. So they threw me a couple curveballs there, and
so you
I'm
don't,
not completely disinterested, but I'm good to go.
So you don't mind the Survivor Series matchup as a main event at Survivor Series? You like this 5-on-5 match?
Yeah, it's old school, and I think even better is if they could give, like, sure, their names are like Team Foley or Team Punk, but they got to get like some matching gear and some stuff like that. They got to go full old school. You know what I mean? Like back in the day.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Does it not come out of left field? Where does Foley fall into place? Why does this come? Why has this match been announced? And really, the bigger question is what's the payoff here? There's no title on the line. Why am I investing my interest as this match being the main event at Survivor Series?
That is an excellent question, Corey. You know what? If you really think about it, nobody really should.
I know.
I'm just a sucker for old-fashioned nostalgia, and I think that's what I think might have people turning in.
It's just a good old-fashioned pissing match, Corey.
That doesn't do it for me as a main event. I don't mind that as a mid-card match, but as a main event, I'm not. There needs to be an invested interest there. This is obvious. Five wrestlers who had feuds going on with one another, and they're slapping them together for one match. I don't know.
Well, we got 2 weeks to make this interesting. Let's see what they do.
Anything else you want to talk about, Basso, while we have you on the phone?
Do we have any more Trailer Park Boys on the show today, boys?
No, we don't. Why? Would you like some?
What, do you have like Ricky or Julian on the line?
Yeah, we're talking to him right now.
Well, if you are, just say hello. Otherwise, no, it's been an absolutely a pleasure joining you guys, and I look forward to it next time.
Oh, so professional. If they could only hear how you talk to us off air. All right, Corey Basso, maybe we'll talk to you definitely next week. Maybe we'll have you in studio and joining us and talking Monday Night Raw at length if you're available. We know you got a busy schedule, but we'll see how it goes. How does that sound?
Thanks, fellas.
All right, Basso. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
All right, James. Another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live.
That was a good one. Those are always good ones. Like, oh, why am I? Why do I even say that?
All right. Well, we will continue the Road to Survivor Series, I guess.
And we will see if this 5-on-5 classic Survivor Series match becomes interesting somehow.
It'll be an interesting couple weeks. I hope to God I'm a little more positive next week than I am now.
Will they add stipulations? Will they add in the title into the mix? Will we see something happen with Brad Maddox?
We'll find out. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and at SRL Radio on Twitter. Now, I gotta tell you, if you haven't done so already, you should look for us in the iTunes store, because we're on there. Did you know that, James?
I know we're on the iTunes store, but one other thing you also forgot to mention? Send us those emails, people. Let us know what you think. This is a show by the fans, for the fans, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Did you like Hell in a Cell? Did you like Monday Night Raw? Are you excited for Survivor Series as much as we are? Well, send us those emails and let us know, and there might be some cool stuff coming your way.
If you do listen to our show on the iPhone, let me just quickly bring you up to date on an excellent app that's out there. I use it. James uses it. I know a couple other people that use it. The app is called iCatcher. It's a great podcast app. Whenever you open the app, it'll automatically download the latest episode of Smack Talk Radio Live for you.
You just
subscribe to it within the app, and there you go. It's called iCatcher. Definitely check it out. Worth the 99 cents that I think they charge you for it. Anyways, that'll do it for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. We will be back next week, assuming the WWE hasn't put us to sleep. I'm Corey Callahan, just being a heel.
And I am James McDonald, the ever-eternal babyface.
We'll see you next week.